welcome to the CCFR Radio Podcast, your source for news, updates, and stories from the CCFR.
Hey everybody, welcome to episode 21 of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I'm your host, Rod Giltaka. Thanks for joining me again. As you may have noticed, it's been a while since I've been able to get a podcast out. It's been two episodes that I have missed, and the reason for that is there is so much going on that I couldn't find the time to do it. And so today you're going to get a massive update on everything that's going on with the CCFR, everything that's going on with firearm ownership in Canada. Some all kinds of interesting things are happening. It's a battle royale, which I'll get into in the first segment. I'm also going to talk about the filming of our TV show, which is in full swing, one of the reasons why I've been so busy. And I'm going to have an interview with our cameraman, who is assigned for the entire filming of our television show, Canada Downrange. And he shot a gun for the first time in our first filming segment. So he's going to talk about that. So that's kind of interesting. We're converting everybody we work with. So I'm going to have that story and a whole lot more. Stick with me right after this. Hey everybody, it's Rod Giltaka from the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights. We get a lot of people in our Facebook group asking about gun laws and regulations, and there's always a wide variety of answers to be had. But what if you had the ability to ask any legal question, whether about guns or not, and have an actual lawyer answer it? You can have a resource like that for $16 a year with the CCFR's Legal Advice Plan. No joke, man, $16 gets you unlimited legal advice over the phone when you need it from a certified, fully qualified lawyer. Don't take a chance by acting on unreliable advice when it comes to the law. You can buy this plan by clicking on the insurance tab at www.firearmrights.ca, and you're helping fund the CCFR at the same time. It's a great way to get solid advice when you need it and join in the fight for your own ability to own and use firearms. Once again, click the insurance tab at firearmrights.ca, and thank you for your support. Holy corruption, man, have I got an update for you all. It has been a five-week battle royale between the CCFR and the Liberal government, and it's been just absolutely raging. As you guys know, I'm a little bit behind in the podcast, and I really appreciate you coming back and sticking with me on this, and you're going to find out exactly why I'm so far behind. We have been running pedal to the metal for 5 weeks, so where to start? Okay, so the first thing, back on May 24th, I went to Ottawa, met up with Tracy Wilson, and we testified for a committee, which is great. But to understand what I'm going to tell you, it's really important that you understand what the purpose of committee is. So if you're not familiar with how our government works or how laws make their way through the House, this is actually going to be really good, because as a normal person off the street, I'm learning about this process myself, and as a objective observer going through it, it is absolutely terrifying what goes on there. Anyway, you're gonna find out why, but bear with me. There's a bit of a silver lining in this story of absolutely rotten, corrupt government. So the purpose of the committee hearings is as follows. In our system, we as normal people in areas which are called ridings, we say, well, if the government's gonna have all this authority, we wanna make sure that a representative from our area goes to, you know, we're going to choose somebody, and they're going to go and they're going to actively participate in government to make sure that our interests are being served, right? Because we're having taxes extracted by force. Whatever they say is our fair share, apparently, is that's what it is. And they push down laws and say, here, we're going to control how you behave as well. And so they have a lot of influence in our lives. So in our system, we're supposed to say, well, we're going to send somebody to make sure you guys don't misuse all of this authority. So those are our MPs. So we elect people that are normal people from our area to serve as MPs. Now, what do normal people look like? Well, they're people that do something for a living. Let's hope, right? You know, other than being government. I could dive right down the rabbit hole right now, but I'm not gonna. This is me practicing restraint. Okay, so they're people that, you know, have a trade. Maybe they're an auto mechanic, or they're a, you know, they work at an ice cream stand, or they're a dentist, or a doctor, or a lawyer, or whoever, right? They have an area of expertise and some life experience, and off they go. Well, in our system, we say, well, these people don't have experience in all the different things that they, you know, preside over, I should say. Okay. So what we have in our system is they can create a bill. That bill gets debated and it gets, gets voted on. And then it goes through a whole bunch of different processes to make sure that it's good for the country and doesn't unfairly hurt people. So there's a little part of that process called committee hearing. So a committee is formed on a particular bill, and all of these people who typically have no expertise in any of this stuff have an opportunity to have, at the taxpayer's expense, people experts in hopefully experts in the areas being considered, that they would fly these people in, and that the members of the committee, which are made up of MPs, have the opportunity to ask questions of these experts to make sure that they're well informed before they cast their votes. Hopefully I've explained that. You know, I tend to get a little wild because I have so much going through my mind because of all these experiences, right? So they have an opportunity to educate themselves, to ask them and even have a debate or have a conversation. That's how they educate themselves to make sure everything's okay. All right, that's what the committee's for. In real life, like when the system was set up, that was the intent. But in real life, it's very different. In real life, the behavior that I've seen in committee, I can't even come up with words to describe it, how bad it is. The behavior is what you'd expect from an 8-year-old that's been spoiled their whole lives, and they're acting out. That's the behavior. It was really incredible. And I've got a lot to say here and a lot to share with you in that experience that you could not see. Well, you saw it if you were there, but there's only audio of that particular committee meeting, and you really can't hear the behavior of what's going on. So I want to share this with you. It's quite valuable. So I go in there, and the board is, in my opinion, a phenomenal board. So from right to left, you have Tracy Wilson, you have myself, you have Tony Bernardo, and you have Steve Torino. Now you have the communicators here, which is me and Tracy, and you have the technical experts, in my opinion, which is Tony and Steve. Now these guys have been around so long, they have such a grasp on the technical aspects of classification and the history of gun control in Canada. Like, I mean, these guys are truly experts in that kind of stuff, right? But understand what they are. They're absolute experts in that kind of stuff. They are not communicators. They're not the people that are talking to the general population and say, here's what's going on, right? And this is why the CCFR needed to form, because we need an organization that's a public relations organization, and that's our expertise. So together with Tony and Steve, and then me and Tracy, I mean, this is a dream team panel, in my opinion, okay? This was the government's opportunity to ask. I mean, we could have had a discussion. It could have been the mother of all discussions on this topic. So what happened? Well, as soon as we set our statements, and in our statement, you know, I explained why this is a bad law for everybody, why it doesn't do anything to curb shootings. And in very plain language, Tracy did the same. She addressed the domestic violence thing. StatsCan has very, very meticulously kept numbers on that. I mean, this is not a controversial issue at all. Just go to StatsCan and you'll understand it. They have a report every year called the Report on Family and Domestic Violence, or Family Violence. And they do that every year. And everything you need to know about firearms and their role in domestic violence is there. And you read it and you're like, there's no problem here. Certainly no problem that can be solved by legislation, right? It's cut and dry. It's not controversial. So Tracy spoke to that real quick. And she also said the CCFR communicates in a way that we don't have to hold up pictures of scary guns to fool people into going along with our bad ideas. So as soon as the questions opened up, the Liberal panel went straight to me, and they attacked me, and they attacked the CCFR. Fully prepared in advance, full attack. Teeth, claws out, scratching and thrashing, full attack on the CCFR. They left Steve and Tony alone. And I'll tell you why that is. Because Steve and Tony are right in everything that they said in the technical stuff, but they're not a threat like we are to the Liberals, because we're speaking to everybody and everybody understands exactly what we're saying. That's why we're a threat. We're a public relations organization, and that threat was on full display. Every question that was asked to me was rhetorical. And when it came to Peter Fraggle Rockus, some MP guy, whatever, from some place in Ontario, full attack, asked two rhetorical questions, but just talked right over me. And guess what he did? He held up a picture of a scary gun and started listing off the death tolls in a whole bunch of American shootings, and then held up another scary gun, which apparently is a CZ-858, and talked about the one round that was fired in the mosque shooting in Canada. That was his argument. And here's what's interesting. Peter Fragilorakis even talked over his own witness. This guy was just grandstanding and virtue signaling, which when you virtue signal like that, it just shows what a weak person you are, right? Because you can't have a conversation or a debate and come out winning. You can't do that. He has no argument and he has no ability to engage in a proper conversation, nor do many of these people on the panel on the left-hand side. It was really, and I was surprised, to be honest with you, I was ready. I'm like, let's talk about this. This is going to be great. And if my ideas are bad and they're not going to win, I want to know why they're not going to win. It was the worst behavior you've probably ever seen an adult engage in. It was terrible. And now this is another, you know, so anyway, why did this happen to the CCFR? Why did they leave the CSSA alone? Because we're the real threat to them. I'm not saying that there's anything wrong with the CSSA. They're really good at what they do. But public relations wise, we're a huge threat. We're so much of a threat. So this is a silver lining. We're so much of a threat, even after only 2.5 years of existence. We're such a threat that they've labeled us the NRA of Canada. They even sent out, and as you guys know, they even sent out an email fundraising campaign calling us the NRA of Canada, right? They even admitted that they're talking about us. That's how much of a threat we are to them. Very, very interesting. So it's something that all gun owners can be proud of. And I'll just take this opportunity. Thank you to everybody that's become a member of the CCFR. And thank you to the people that are supporting us on Patreon. Don't forget, if you want to shoot us $10 a month or more, if you can afford it, do that on Patreon. I don't plug that much, usually at the end of the podcast. But if you can do that, it allows us to do things like stay like we did. When this bill dropped, Tracy and I were both in Ottawa for 5 days straight, holding press conferences, going to MPs, doing Facebook Lives. We were on the Hill hammering these people. Every step forward, we smash them on the foot with a ball peen hammer. And we're going to continue to do that. And we really saw the results of that. That's the silver lining. We saw the results of that in committee because these people acted out like 8-year-olds that you just took their PlayStation away. It was unbelievable. Fragilorakis, as an individual, in my opinion, and Mark Holland and Pam Damhoff. Holy man, do these people, they can't have an actual conversation. They're incapable of it. It was striking. I was very shocked. Anyway, one other thing I want to say, and this is really important. I've said from the beginning, and we've said as a group at the CCFR, we don't want to be a partisan organization because gun control and firearm rights, it's not partisan. It's just the difference between right and wrong and, you know, looking after the interests of public safety while making sure that the government doesn't, you know, they don't engage in jackbootery, which they are engaged in now to a degree that I haven't seen it before. So after the attacks of the liberals, the non-conversation, the questions went over to the conservative side. And I'm watching this. I'm very, very observant that way. I'm watching this and I'm watching the way that the conservatives are interacting with us. Well, the conservatives are sort of on our side and that's great. So of course that conversation was a lot better. Then we leave the panel and Wendy Kuki or Suki or whatever her name, however her name's pronounced, it seems to be an issue of controversy. So anyway, she sits there and this is really important. I can't stress this enough. And you can see exactly what's happening. The liberals actually talk over her. Fragilorakis jumped up again. This guy, what a piece of work this guy is. He jumps up and he actually talks over his own witness. You guys can actually listen to it. It's incredible. He has no confidence or something. He's so weak. He actually talks over his own witness and he's virtue signaling and pontificating again. And then it comes time for the conservatives and the NDP, Dubé, I guess the guy's name is from the NDP, very considerate individual. I like him. So he, as far as my experience, so him and the conservatives are on the opposite side of the table. And when they question the pro-gun, the rapidly, you know, drooling all over themselves pro-gun advocate, pro-gun control advocate, they were actually really polite. And let Wendy finish her sentences and ask questions and listen to the answer. There was no comparison between the behavior of conservative people and liberal people. There's no, I mean, my God, man, Mark Holland called us thugs. And then he didn't even have the guts to say, yeah, I did, because that's how I feel. He tried to weasel out of it. I don't think I've encountered weaker people like this since, you know, unless somebody's panhandling and then they're harassing me, you know, and I'm having to negotiate with that. That's a level of discourse that's happening there. Anyway, I'm having a hard time finding words to describe it. And I'm sorry I'm going on and on about it, guys, but as an objective observer, stepping into the system from the outside, I was unprepared for how rotten it really is. So anyway, if what I just said now was a waste of your time, I apologize, but I had to get that off my chest and I had to tell somebody. How about that? All right, I'm going to move on. So there was some silver lining in that whole experience and our interaction with the liberals. Next thing I want to talk about real quick is the AGM. We were battling back and forth to have an AGM, either a physical one or a virtual one to save money. We've gotten a lot of support from everybody. We decided to have an AGM, a physical one. We really skinnied down on the budget to try to make it as economical as possible. It's still, honestly, guys, in my opinion, it's still not cheap, although it does serve a purpose. We did have a strategy meeting at the end of the AGM, where we did talk about next year, we're going to create an AGM. There may be a trade show involved. We're going to make it a real spectacle. And, you know, so there's some other stuff going on behind the scenes. We want to make it like a destination event for our members. So it's going to be really exciting next year. And we're going to try to make it offsetting. So have something there that we can recover the funds that we're spending on an AGM and recover that so that our members' money doesn't go for AGMs. I've had a problem with it, right? Because I want to squeeze every bit of value out of every dollar that we can. This is not some old boys thing where we're just, yeah, you know, drinks on the house, on the members. Like, I just don't like that kind of stuff. It reminds me of the way that the government operates. And as you can see, I'm not a big fan of the government right now and the way that it's behaving. So I don't want to behave in the same way because that's being hypocritical. So anyway, all that, the AGM was very successful. Thank you to everybody that came out. It was great to meet you. And we had a great update. Things are going very well at the CCFR, and they're going very well, A, because we got a great team. That can't be understated. And B, because people are supporting us. You guys are there to support us and scraping out money. You know, all the people that get members, that get memberships and that donate money to the CCFR, not everybody's got a ton of money. And I appreciate it. I don't have a ton of money either, right? So really appreciate that. I can't stress that enough. Next thing I want to talk about is good news. Because of all the delays and all the ball peen hammering on the feet of the liberals, I like that visual. I'd like to use that visual more often. But because of all the opposition and all of the work that we've all done and all the work that you've done as gun owners and all, we've delayed the bill, which is good. We're making it hard on them. That's our job. And now Bill C-71 will not go through third reading till after the summer break. So thank you to everybody that stepped up and fought and made this a big deal. Next thing, hot off the press, MP Glenn Motz, who I had an opportunity to sit down and have a conversation with while I was in Ottawa for the AGM, because we did some lobbying while we were there. MP Glenn Motz, great guy. I'm a big advocate of his. Law enforcement background and a reasonable man. And I can't say enough about how grateful I am to have just reasonable people in government. Just be reasonable. I'm not asking you to agree with me, right? I'm just saying be reasonable. That's all we're ever asking. So really happy. He was successful in raising a motion against the RCMP for contempt of parliament because the RCMP firearms program, another thing that makes me really frustrated, they were implementing a bill before it even went to the Senate, before it was even passed the third reading, before it was, when it was in committee, they were actually posting compliance dates. I don't know what goes through the minds of these people. The behavior is beyond imagination. I don't even know what they're thinking. And this is a clear reason. If you needed any more reason, this is a stark example of why government and bureaucracies need to be constrained, because they can't even control their own behavior. They can't help themselves. And so in a very rare snippet of the government saying, no, that behavior is unacceptable, because it just never does that, right? In my opinion, the Speaker of the House found them in contempt. So I don't know what the consequences of that is. I have no idea. I don't know where it goes from here, but thank you, Glenn Motz, for putting so much work, and your staff. I met some of his staffers too. Good people. Really impressed with that office. Thank you so much for doing that. And at least showing these people that they work for somebody, that there's a boss somewhere that they have to answer to. I don't know whether it's going to make any difference in the big picture, but thank you for doing that. So that's my update. There's so much more to go through. I've talked your guys' ear off. I hate doing that. I hate listening to myself talk for more than 10 minutes. So thanks for enduring that. I'm going to come back. I've got an interview with Logan Wilson, who is our cameraman for Canada Downrange. We're in full swing. I'm doing 4 more days of filming starting today. So I'll have an update on all that stuff with Logan and a lot more right after this.
It's a fact that licensed gun owners do not represent a disproportionate risk to public safety. Yet, whether it's backdoor gun registries, complex regulations, or unreasonable penalties for paperwork offenses, Canada's anti-gun bureaucrats will never stop trying to eliminate your will or ability to own and use firearms. Take action, take a stand, and join the Canadian Coalition for Firearm Rights by visiting us at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, so in the studio, I have Logan Wilson, and as I mentioned in the intro, Logan is actually the videographer that is responsible to do all of the filming and even possibly the editing for our television show. How's it going, Logan?
Pretty good, Rod. How about you?
I'm squeaking by. Thanks for asking.
That's good.
Anyway, so far we did a couple of events. We went to the Chilliwack Fishing Game Club and checked out DSS, which is Dynamic Shooting Sports.
Right.
And we also went out to General Volk's Range to check out the BCRA Service Conditions Championship.
Yep.
And
fun
so,
times.
Some interesting stuff.
Yeah, of course. Definitely opened my eyes, that's for sure. And my ears too.
And previous to that, you had never fired a gun?
Yeah,
true?
I've never fired a gun. I've done paintball and airsoft in the past, but to actually be able to hold a pistol, an AR, as well as a shotgun, that was an experience. That was definitely an experience.
Yeah. So Logan got to shoot an AR-15 at this at DSS. So what DSS is? It's almost like a 3-gun, but sometimes it's only one. Like it's like IDPA or IPSC with rifles. So so a lot of guys had a lot of great hardware out there.
Logan,
to shoot an AR-15.
Definitely some gun porn out there for sure.
Yeah, and probably understood what's so cool about AR-15s. Loud and fun to use.
Yeah,
and
really easy to shoot.
So very exciting.
It was surreal holding that in my hands. Oh yeah, 100%.
Well, I can still hear this genuine wonder still, because it was that was only what was that yesterday?
Yeah. Day before yesterday.
What day is it?
Sunday.
Anyway. Story of my life.
Yep.
But fortunately Logan is going to have the opportunity to go on a great adventure with firearms.
I'm excited.
Yeah, and go across Canada and see all the different stuff. You're going to actually, you as an individual, as somebody who had never shot a gun before the day before yesterday, is going to end up having more experience in different firearm sports than people that have owned a gun their whole lives.
Yeah, I could see that for sure, especially if I'm out there all summer, either with you or whoever it is, right?
So did you have any apprehensions when you first picked up the firearm there?
No. I was a little bit frightened that I was going to hurt myself, but I was under pretty good supervision with everybody there. So I felt pretty comfortable actually.
And did you, and what did you notice about some gun people? Because you haven't really been around gun people either, right?
No, I got to be honest. They were probably some of the nicest people I've ever come across. Like I've been doing music my entire life, and the camaraderie behind musicians can get kind of heated, but these guys here, it was all like a family. Everybody was there together just to have a good time, shoot some guns.
To support each other and try to help each other improve and cheer
100%,
each other on, right?
100%.
Yeah, it's kind of neat. Now, in larger stakes, organized shooting sports, it's not so much like that because people are competing against each other. But the DSS, which you guys are going to see when the episode comes out, is there is scorekeeping so that you're competing against yourself or just your buddies, but there's no prizes awarded for the best scores. Therefore, you don't have people squabbling about rules and stuff. So That was probably a little bit more laid back atmosphere than you'd see in something like IPSC, where someone has a national or world championship, you know, on the line. Then you get, yeah, you tend to get a little bit more.
Yes. Same thing with musicians, you know, like you get these high paid, DJs or, drummers or what have you, you know, they got a little bit of an ego for sure. I guess that comes across any kind of sport or form of media.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So, and then you got to shoot a handgun. Do you remember which handgun it was?
I can't remember. No. Okay.
It was
lots of recoil on that thing, though. Holy
Well, they can get away from you a little bit.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I was scared it was going to fly off of my hands, man.
Speaking of flying off, I crashed the CCFR drone.
Yep. That was a spectacle and a half.
So that was, we were getting some great drone footage, and then I flew it right into the forest and it crashed. But luckily, it was okay. And we were able to use it over at the BCRA championships. At General Volk's range. So you got to see a military range today, which is good. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. That was pretty amazing too, with all the mountains and everything in the backdrop. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That was very surreal.
I think people are going to be impressed just with the scenery of the footage. Hey,
100%, 100%. It'll be very captivating to take a look at that for sure.
Yeah. And I've been talking up the show a lot. But you know, I haven't done any other television. I've never produced a television show or contributed to it or what have you. But yet in our conversations, you seem to think that by way of just the shots that we're getting and the content that we're dealing with, that it's going to be pretty exciting.
Yeah. I strongly believe it'll be something to watch for sure.
Yeah.
I had fun shooting it. So,
yeah.
Yeah.
And you've done some other stuff. So you are speaking at least with some experience.
Yeah. 100%.
Yeah.
This is the first time I've ever filmed people shooting guns though.
Yeah, well, that's a lot more.
And shooting a gun. Wow, what a weekend.
Yeah, it was. Well, awesome. It's great to have you on board. I'm glad you're coming along with us on this adventure. And we'll look forward to see what the show looks like.
Thanks for having me.
Awesome. Thanks, Logan.
Thanks, man.
Over the past 25 years, tens of thousands of Canadians have had their firearms taken by no fault of their own through arbitrary reclassifications, paperwork errors, or senseless prohibitions. The government's perfect vision of Canada does not include you or your firearms. Let Canada's politicians and bureaucrats know they do not have your consent. Stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms by joining the CCFR right now at www.firearmrights.ca.
All right, that's about going to do it for this episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. I really appreciate you guys for listening in. I apologize for that big, long, rambling rant. I wanted to tell you all that story, but I hate doing segments that long where I'm talking. It's this whole monologuing thing drives me crazy, and I'm the one that's saying it. But anyway, really appreciate you getting through that. And hopefully you learned a little bit about our system and what's gone wrong with it. And we're really going to need support, certainly in the next election, to help change that system. So anyway, I wanted to make that point. Also, if you want to support the CCFR a little bit further, you can find us on Patreon, become a Patreon supporter. And just so you know, the way that Patreon's fees are structured, if you can afford $10 a month, that's great. When you get under $10 a month, the fees start eating a lot more of the actual money that is left over after their fees, is I think what I'm trying to say. So go to, if you want to support us on Patreon, really appreciate that. You can help us continue to absolutely hammer these people, which we have been doing. And I hope all of our members are proud of that. I think we've made a huge impact, and we're certainly annoying the right people. And we want to switch over maybe in 2019 to supporting the right people instead of our mission just being annoying them. But anyway, I appreciate all your support. If you can do more, that would be appreciated also. Thanks for listening, and we will see you next time.
This is another episode of the CCFR Radio Podcast. Remember, if you don't stand up for your own ability to own and use firearms, who will? Join the CCFR or donate right now at www.firearmrights.ca.